You are now joining The Mandalorian Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and I'm here to tell you that Toro sucks. Wait a second. You just Ron Burgundy me.
It's funny because, like, I saw the moment where you actually realized it was coming
and
up.
I just kept going.
Saw it and heard it, and then I also saw the decision to keep going with the bit.
What's your name?
That was good. I'm Mac Lacey, everybody. I have a little joke here in the show notes. No worries. Don't mind us. We're just having fun. Yeah, so we're the Mandalorian Watch. We cover everything related to the Star Wars live-action TV series, The Mandalorian. And we are gearing up for Season 2. We have just had the kickoff of kind of the news and promotion cycle for Season 2, which is phenomenal. So that's what we're doing here on this episode today. We're going to be talking about kind of our first looks in this first little wave of information, like, coming out on the official channels for Season 2. So, yeah, but before we get into that, and we will very soon, gotta do the business first, on Twitter, connect with us at The Mando Watch. Instagram is The Mandalorian Watch, and then we also have a Patreon. Alex, you want to tell them a little bit about Patreon?
Yeah, absolutely. On our Patreon, we have all sorts of different bonus episodes available. I've been teaching
you
all
good?
Day, and I taught The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, and I read the narrator part, so I've been reading all day long. Anyways,
we have
bonus episodes available for you over on the Patreon, and it's only $2, and that's the good thing about it. It's only $2 to access those bonus episodes, but if you can't support us through the Patreon, we would love for you to rate and review our podcast over on Apple Podcasts. We are about 30 reviews away from 600, and I would love to get to number 600 before Season 2 premieres, and I think I think we can do it.
So connect with us on all the stuff. We always want to hear from you, and we've got a voicemail box. Call into that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be featuring some voicemails later in the show and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So call into that, and it is in full swing. But I think we've dawdled enough on the business.
I think we need to get into
the meat. This is a juicy episode. This is kind of what we've been waiting for. This is the kickoff that now Alex and I, the Mandalorian Watch, is getting into game mode. Like, it is go time for us. We are getting into the thick of it. A trailer is no doubt, like, just around the corner now.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking this weekend.
Maybe. That means we will be podcasting again very soon.
Maybe.
Wow.
But we'll see. That's just a prediction. I have no inside knowledge or anything like that.
Do you think that this EW article that we're about to break down, do you think this was like the prelude to get us ready for that?
This was to break the ice. This was kind of the reintroduction, you know, the greeting, like, hey, how are you? Nice to see you again. And then now we're about to get into the meat of it.
Gotcha.
The long-awaited reunion, the thick of the conversation. So
gotcha.
And like the Dune trailer, I feel like really just had a moment, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like the time would be right for a Mandalorian Season 2 trailer.
Yeah, but you want to let Dune go ahead and do its thing. Looked at Dune Twitter briefly and realized it's the same exact thing as Star Wars Twitter, and then checked out. I was like, it's a pretty cool trailer. I'm going to see what other people are saying. Actually, no, I'm not. So just keep on moving.
A dope trailer.
It's pretty cool. I have no idea what's going on, but
it's phenomenal. Have you not read the book?
I have not read. I've tried. It's so dense.
It is dense.
I could not understand what was happening.
If you don't like words, I saw a post about it. I was like, if you don't like words, Dune's not for you. And it's not like an intelligence thing. It's just like you gotta like the anyway.
I've got the audiobook ready.
There you go.
Yeah.
We have some other words on the printed page, digital or otherwise.
What a transition.
I reached for it. It was a reach. But so we have an EW article. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and get into it.
Yeah, so this past Tuesday, EW just randomly dropped a season 2 preview of The Mandalorian with brand new photos. If you have not, for some reason, seen these amazing photos, stop what you're doing right now. Actually, don't stop what you're doing. Keep listening.
Keep listening.
And go Google those photos. Because
if
they are.
If you're listening
incredible.
In the car, though, go ahead and pull over to the side of the road. Keep the podcast going, but pull over and then look them up.
Or you could just imagine what they look like.
Yeah.
We're not going to describe them to you because.
No. It's not what this is about yet. No. But.
But Baby Yoda's in a pouch several times.
And it's cool. I saw someone refer to the tired dad energy of the Mandalorian to just put him in a bag.
I really like all those photos and they're really incredible, but kind of with the season 1 photos, you don't really know what you're getting except it looks really cool. There's some really cool shots of Moff Gideon that kind of look like he's on a Star Destroyer maybe. So maybe we'll get to see an Imperial Star Destroyer again,
which would be cool. TIE Fighter came from somewhere. So obviously there's a Star Destroyer hanging out somewhere.
Yeah, there has to be. It's got to be somewhere. So there's that. You get to see Greef Karga's new costume, which he looks very regal and he looks very good in that costume. I think that kind of works for him a little bit better than the season 1 outfit does.
Yeah, it matches that theatrical thing that he has.
Yeah, it does. It really does. He looks more regal, put together. I really enjoyed the photos, but let's start breaking down the audio, or not the audio, the article itself. Jon Favreau, here's the first point. Jon Favreau doesn't do anything without Dave Filoni's approval and talking it through first.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, so we... When, especially the Disney Gallery stuff was coming out and we were covering that, we talked a lot about how the process that they have, kind of like Star Wars boot camp that they have going with The Mandalorian, really works.
Right.
And is working. And obviously, we're both in agreement that it's a good system to have. And mm-hmm. I think part of that is kind of the... You gotta have kind of the keeper of the lore, the keeper of the holocron, so to speak. And Dave Filoni is definitely that. I mean, he's George's Padawan, so who better, Jon Favreau is obviously a huge Star Wars fan, has a lot of love and respect for the property, but he's not as much of a nerd as we are, Dave Filoni is,
But I think but to me. That's a good thing.
It is.
Because it can bring a freshness to Star Wars.
I totally agree. And he's got the storytelling chops to be able to do really cool things with it, with love and respect, but still innovate. And that's why it's such a good combo. But you still have Dave to rein him in if things get too crazy. I like that he was talking about, I'm like a lawyer talking to a judge. I am to him as he was to George. I like he has to come up with a case. He cites examples from movies or Clone Wars and stuff. It's just cool. It just makes sure that thought is being put into the legacy, the essence of the property, and not absolutely. Just what's gonna make a bunch of money or what's gonna be the easiest way to tell this story,
Exactly, and I think this is how you should do all Star Wars, honestly. You've got someone who's kind of pushing the envelope, but also somewhere hey, wait a second. Are we sure this is what you want to do, or you can't do that, or here's why? And then the other person, I love what you were talking about, Jon Favreau's quote right there. He's like a lawyer talking to a judge. He's using... text evidence. He's using, specific evidence from the Clone Wars, from the movies of they did this here, And so you can meet a middle ground and push Star Wars further and into new places it's never been, but still feel like Star Wars. And I think that's exactly what we need from Star Wars if it's going to continue.
Right. So I full agreement here. I think it's like that we thought we kind of had that with the story group when the new canon stuff was all announced and everything, but I think what that ended up being was the story group was more in charge of quantitative things, like, oh, this is definitively, objectively this. Like, we've stated that a Star Destroyer is this long, so in this new book that you're writing, it has to be that long too, you know?
Right.
Like, I think that's largely, and that's like a very reductionist example, but like, it's quantitative things, right?
Yeah.
To me, this is more of a check for the qualitative things. Like, right. Does this feel like Star Wars? Is this in the spirit of Star Wars, you know? And so I think it's very important to have that. And I think if anyone alive on the face of the earth, like, other than George Lucas, is able to do that job, it's Dave Filoni.
Right, exactly. And like we've talked about before, Dave Filoni is like George Lucas's Padawan. Now, he is the Jedi Master, and he is...
Now, I am the Master.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was pretty cool, but let's talk about what we're all super excited about, and it's Season 2... tidbits, I like to say, or Season 2 preview. And I'm super excited. Yeah, first look. So I'm going to read a little bit from the article and we'll talk about it. But it says the season concluded with Mando embarking on a search for the child's own kind, and Gideon was revealed to possess the mysterious ancient black-bladed weapon, the Darksaber. Expect the Outer Rim to get a lot more crowded in Season 2. While Disney has not confirmed any new cast members of their characters, there's a rogues gallery of actors who seemed optimized for a Comic-Con panel reportedly coming on board. Rosario Dawson as the Clone Wars fan favorite Jedi apostate Ahsoka Tano. Tamara Morrison, who played Jango Fett in the prequels, playing, presumably, this is interesting, some version of a clone trooper or iconic bounty hunter Boba Fett, and Katie Sackhoff as a live-action Bo-Katan Kryze, and also Michael Biehn and Timothy Oliphant as unknown characters. Some of them are true, some of them are not, says Gina Carino, who plays mercenary Cara Dune on the show. Carino notes that the heightened secrecy included actors getting scripts only for their own episodes and being ushered to set in black cloaks and hoods, like incognito Sith lords. So,
yeah.
Okay.
First of all, that read like Dune. So lots of names and references and...
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I've seen this conversation going around on internet, all that. Because this is an EW article, you would assume that they have certain access to the show that others don't have, right?
EW is like Lucasfilm's propaganda arm. If that makes sense.
That's my understanding as well. Yes.
They like to use EW as a basically official release, just under a different name, right? Like, I mean, this is where, like, nothing has been in an EW article that has not come to pass, you know?
Right. And so, I mean, it's possible, but, like, it kind of seems like they just confirm that at least some of those characters are going to be in the show.
Yeah, and they say, like, I mean, like, you know, some of these are in here, some of them maybe not. So, but I'm saying, like, this is, and it's phrased in a way, it's interesting that they pulled that quote from Gina Carano, because, like, just to say, like, oh, you know, it does great to, like, confirm to people who were excited about some of those rumors and possibilities, but then also, like, protects the mystique and the air of suspense, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It is interesting, though. It's, you know, that was in the article. Now, maybe, you know, this is not Anthony Breznican EW anymore. So.
Right.
Who knows what that relationship is like? I just know that Anthony Breznican wrote in a way that wouldn't give things away, but would hint at things. This kind of was written in a way that makes you feel like, did they just confirm that, or what?
Yeah.
You know, like, what just happened there? But it is interesting. But let's keep going and let's talk about some of the points that the article makes. Obviously, it says season two is getting larger, and the stories are less isolated. So what do you think that means, Mac, like in terms of less isolated?
So it can mean two things. What I think that refers to is that there's going to be more of a straight shot narrative through all the episodes of season two. So like we always kind of talk about, like, we think of chapters 1, 2, and 3 as kind of one episode, and then you've got kind of individual little side, like side mission mm-hmm. type of episodes in the middle, and then you've got another kind of two episodes that go together at the end. I think this is going to be directly like the events of chapter one will affect the events of chapter two directly, which then directly affect the plot of chapter three and so on, like through the season. Okay. That's kind of what I think.
Yeah. I think when we first watched season one, if you recall back to last year, which feels like a million years ago.
Yes.
If you recall, one of the hesitations of the show, or like people feeling hesitant about, like, do I like this or not, is the fact that the episodes felt disjointed or disconnected in some of them. Like we know that the first three episodes, wonderful, but then 4, 5, and 6 are like, you could not watch them and still get the whole story.
Right.
Like you just said. And then 7 and 8.
Because they're phenomenal.
Oh, no. Yeah. But like, if there was a way to make those episodes a little more connected to what the main storyline is, I think that would just go to make the show even better.
Yeah.
You know, like, I prefer Star Wars Rebels over Clone Wars for that exact reason. Because,
yeah, like, you don't like the whole anthology thing.
Yeah, I'm not a big anthology guy, I guess. And like, some of the episodes of Clone Wars are exactly like that. You know, like, they're connected and then they're disjointed and then they're connected. I like a more streamlined, linear storytelling. We're all going in the same direction. It doesn't have to be the same time period, but we're all going the same direction. I like that a little bit better. The article goes on to say that the personal story between Din and the child will develop in a way that Jon Favreau hopes the audience enjoys. Like, why? In what way would we not enjoy that?
That just seemed like a very fluffy statement. Like,
okay, yeah, I put that in our notes because I was like, is there something to that, or am I just reading too much into that?
I think it's just kind of a little fluff piece. Just kind of like, oh yeah, by the way, let's mention Baby Yoda because people like him.
Okay.
That's kind of what I took it as. But I mean, I think that, like, this statement is a given for season two, right?
So like, I wonder if it's like,
unless Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian split up in chapter one and never see each other again. Which that would still, I guess, be an interesting way that relationship would develop. So
it is interesting that you say that. I don't think that will happen in chapter one, but I do think that it will happen at some point in the season.
I do too. I think so. Probably when the Mandalorian is in prison with Bo-Katan.
Interesting that you say that. We will get to why he said that statement later on in the show. Please don't let me forget, Mac. Okay.
I won't.
Here's the next point. Different storylines will be followed, and it's mainly inspired by the way Game of Thrones handled that type of thing. So, like, the way Game of Thrones would somehow have, like, what's going on in the north? What's going on at, you know, King's Landing? What's going on in Dorne? Those type of things.
Yeah. I love that. Because that's how the movies play, you know?
Yeah, yep.
And so I like the idea of seeing, like, oh, here's a couple scenes of bad guys doing stuff and there's no heroes here, you know? Like, because we only see season one through the eyes of Din.
Yeah.
You know? Of the Mandalorian.
If it's a story, it's a first-person story in season one.
And so I think it'll be good. Just, like, we're going to get more of the characters that we like, you know? Like, we'll get more Cara Dune and you know, we'll get to see, like, I'm sure Grief will go and do his own little, you know, side mission, and it'll just be a good time.
What I immediately thought of was Ahsoka Tano.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if she is in the show, which it all indications is that she is.
She is. Yeah. I think at this point.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Her storyline, like, if she just disappeared and we only saw her when she was with the Mandalorian, we would all be like, what the heck? We want to know what she's doing, because whatever she's doing has to be super important, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I imagine we will explore what she is doing. I also think that we'll see a lot of Moff Gideon by himself. And
I think so.
I think we'll that's important.
I do, too. We get, like, I love the villain scenes in Star Wars, mm-hmm. you know? It's kind of like Disney movies. Like, you get, like, a little villain song, you know, here and there. Yeah. Like, you get the
Scar scene.
Vader's throne room kind of scene, like, or little capsule thing, you know, like,
yes,
we get that scene. We get the you know, we get Darth Sidious and Darth Maul talking, and right, like, just cool little scenes like that. And so it'll be fun to get those from Moff Gideon.
Yes, hopefully we will see. And then we are confirmed for 8 episodes for season 2 as well. And director Rick Fawima is coming back. Carl Weathers will be directing an episode. Like mm-hmm. we've reported before, Robert Rodriguez is coming to direct an episode. And then Jon Favreau will also be directing. But it didn't specifically mention Dave Filoni. So is he directing or not? It wasn't really clear.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, like, sorry, I had to yawn there. Yeah, it could be that he's not, and that's maybe why they brought him up earlier, you know, talking about his involvement with the show, just to keep that connection there.
Yeah.
But it could just be that they had already spent some time on Dave in the article and they just didn't mention him, you know?
Right. It's not very clear. Who knows? So we'll see.
It's not.
We'll see. I would imagine yes.
Yeah.
It'd be weird not to. I mean, it's like
We wanted it for so long. We finally got it and then we'll never see it again.
Nah. Right.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, Deborah Chow is not mentioned because she is running the Kenobi show that starts, which is confirmed today, by the way, that it starts filming in spring 2021.
Yep. So that's nice. And that's good with me. I want her doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's only 4 episodes, too. So, like, I imagine she's probably doing all 4.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, she can direct anything she wants to, as far as I'm concerned. I'm a huge fan of, you know, her directing, and so as much as I would like to have her on The Mandalorian again, I'm glad that she's working on Kenobi.
Yeah, she can come back for season 4 if there's a season 4, because I imagine season 3 will be filming around the same time
as
Kenobi. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we've got an interesting Pedro Pascal quote. He says, "We start very directly after the first season, and he's going into very dangerous territory," Pascal 45 says. "He is very much a passenger to the experience in unexpected ways, not knowing what's to come, not knowing how much or how best to protect the child. We don't know how far he will go to do that, and they're finding new ways to push the envelope."
That's Ahsoka, right? That's talking about like, he's going into dangerous territory. So I think there's going to be, like, talking about him being a passenger to the experience. Like, we're getting into Force territory and dealing with Force stuff, which is so above the Mandalorian's pay grade, you know?
Or below.
Or below, yeah, depending on how you, yeah. But, you know, that's just very much not in his wheelhouse.
Right.
And so, like, that seems to me like what that's referring to. And, like, and when it's talking about, you know, not knowing how much or how best to protect the child, like, how does he feel about, like, should he just hand the child off to these Jedi Force people? Or, like, you know, here's, specifically okay. talking about like Ahsoka, maybe, you know?
With you talking about that and me thinking through this, I wouldn't be shocked if we start to see Baby Yoda act out a little bit, like go through that toddler phase of
kind
like
of the terrible
defiance.
Twos a little
yeah.
bit. Yeah.
And the Mandalorian doesn't really know what to do.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, because the child can use the Force.
he choked
right.
a Rebel shock trooper in the earlier season, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So, who knows? We'll keep going. The Mando, and the child are pursued by Gideon, who will serve as a source of temptation. That's interesting. In the classic yeah. tradition of Star Wars villains trying to lure their heroes down darker paths. I'll be going toe-to-toe with Mando, says Esposito, who was nominated for an Emmy for his first season performance. It's an iconic battle. I want to disarm him mentally as well. Who knows? Maybe there's an opportunity to get him to fight some battles for me. You may think I'm a villain, but I'm trying to harness some energy and some powers for a path that could be best for all. You'll get to see him be somewhat diplomatic and more of a manipulator. Which, come on, you want Esposito. Can we get him just in all Star Wars now? Like, he knows how to play this part and play up and really sell something.
He's so good at, like, the mind game stuff and, like specifically talking about Breaking Bad, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, that was kind of the character that he was playing. And so, yeah, I'm very excited to see him bring energy to this.
But even as a person, like, he is just, like, he's really good at selling what's coming. Like, he makes me more excited for the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
He's really good at that, so.
Yeah. What do you think he's referring to, who will serve as a source of temptation?
Okay, see, that's interesting. Yeah, that's something that, like, I don't understand. Who is...
Because it's obviously not going to be the traditional, like, come to the dark side type thing, right? Because this is not a Force-sensitive individual.
Maybe it's giving him the Darksaber and saying, you can go and restore your people if you give me the child.
See, I don't think it's that, but I think it's related to that.
To
Mandalorians? Maybe, like, revenge against some separatist. Now, it'd be probably... Well, there'd be some separatist figures still kicking around. Maybe that, like, something had to do with, like, the destruction of his home, you know? Like, I'm thinking, like, he almost offers Mandalorian, like, the Mandalorian revenge, because it's gotta be tied to his people.
Yeah.
Right? Anything that's gonna be more important than the child is to him at this point.
Right.
Like, I think that's the only thing that could possibly be a temptation for him, you know?
Yeah, and obviously, like, the way the tribe that we meet... that Din Djarin is a part of, they do things differently than a lot of the other Mandalorians do.
Yeah.
And maybe this will be an opportunity, like maybe he will make a mistake and take that temptation, and it's Bo-Katan who maybe comes and says, hey, that is not the way. You shouldn't, like, you just betrayed everything what Mandalorians actually stand for. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, who knows? Who knows what that means? But it's very exciting.
Yeah, it is.
It's very exciting. He also confirms that there's going to be some Darksaber action, which, of course, you know, he has been teasing that, like, nonstop over the summer.
Yeah, he was definitely handed a sheet of paper that had a bulleted list of about four things, and
three of them were Darksaber.
Yeah. That was his press prompts from Lucasfilm.
Right. Right. Yeah, and then it also teases that Moff Gideon will be in a large vehicle. And Mac, I don't know why, but when I read that the first time, I was like, what's the largest vehicle that the Empire has? Oh my gosh, they have a third Death Star. Wait a second. No, it can't be that. Then I thought, is it like a giant, like a super Star Destroyer? And I was like, no, surely it's not that either. And then, of course, my mind went back down, and I was like, oh, a chicken walker. No,
AT-ST,
there's something bigger than that, an AT-AT, an AT-AT. That's the process my mind went through.
So those were the mental gymnastics that you jumped.
And you went straight to AT-AT, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. Or AT-AT. What do you say?
I say AT-AT.
Me too. I think that's a generational thing.
I think it is. Because I think like a lot of really old school fans, they'll say AT-AT. And yeah. I think newer fans will say AT-AT.
Yeah. We're in a weird bubble.
There's a weird middle section there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we say AT-AT. I think it's when we were getting more inundated with video games.
Yes.
I think that's why we have more, like, we have very specific pronunciation generationally.
Yes.
Of Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, so. We do. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so that'd be cool. It could be talking about a Star Destroyer, but I think when I think of a vehicle, I think more of something on land than like a ship, right?
Even though
ships are vehicles.
I mean, surely too, with how much they love doing things the old school way, they'll probably do like the claymation AT-AT. Like what are they going to be doing? A model?
Well, they built models for...
Right,
They simultaneously invented a new revolutionary imaging technology and built models. So,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's
exciting. I don't know what circumstance we would see an AT-AT, but right. I'm excited to see one and Moff Gideon in it.
For sure.
And I imagine his will be like customized like his
TIE fighter. Yeah. It'll be able to land by just folding up.
like the TIE fighter.
Yeah, that's the joke.
Was it AT-ATs though? Was it a joke? Land. Okay. Yeah,
it was
a
joke.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Gotcha. Understood.
All right. Next item.
Greef Karga and Cara Dune's characters will be explored further. I just wrote that point because, of course, we know that. Like,
yeah, duh. All right.
Yeah.
Unless they, again, die in chapter one, like first scene.
obviously they will be explored further. And then the show music was the hardest about post-production.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because it seemed like it was such a efficient, like, natural process.
Right.
The first time out.
Well, so, but, yeah. You know, COVID kind of got in the way that you have people getting together and performing and stuff.
That's very true. Very true.
So, like, basically the article broke down, like, they all recorded and sent it in, and they had to, like,
put a whole orchestra?
Yeah, like, recorded individually.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so the music should be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't record bass in studio for this new stuff that we did. We just recorded it ourselves and sent it in, and it sounds good.
You mean the Carpool Kids?
Yeah, the Carpool Kids, who I think you got some music of on this episode. Yeah, I think I'll do that too. But yeah, Carpool Kids, check out Euphoria on all the things. All the things. Yeah.
All the things.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah. So, okay. And then
I'm not sure, but I hope.
I'm sure it will. The last point is promises that fans won't be disappointed. And Dave's quote is this. You want The Empire Strikes Back to be better than A New Hope.
They're confident. And last time they were this confident was The Last Jedi. And I thought The Last Jedi was phenomenal. So.
Yeah, but it also divided and broke the fan base. So.
Yeah, if that happens to the Mandalorian community. Because, like, Star Wars Twitter is a dumpster fire, right? But the Mandalorian community that has been carved out of Star Wars Twitter is great.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So I hope it stays that way.
You know what in The Empire Strikes Back is what's interesting is Han Solo gets captured. And one might say that he is imprisoned. And so you said earlier Bo-Katan will be imprisoned... with the Mandalorian. What do you mean by that?
The segueing on that. Man. Yeah, so basically what I was meaning was like kind of this like crazy like prediction I have for season 2.
You've got a crazy prediction for season 2?
Yeah, I've actually got a couple. Do you have any, Alex?
What if I told you I had exactly three crazy predictions and you had...
And I had three?
Three crazy predictions. And what if...
What would we like... But like, okay, so let's say we had these predictions.
Yeah.
Right? We had the predictions.
Mm-hmm.
What like would we do with them if we wanted to share them? Like, and obviously not on the podcast. Like we've
like
already
in a
done
different
kind
format.
Of some yeah, like a different format. Like to shake it up. What would we do?
I think we'd probably like write an article on on our brand new website.
Our brand new website?
Yeah, we got a website.
We have a website.
We have a website. You can go to www.themandalorianwatch.com or just mandalorianwatch.com. It takes you to the same place.
Both.
And we have a website, and we have an article live right now that we would love for you to read called Six Crazy Predictions for Season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Yeah. So read that. Check out the website.
Share.
Bookmark it. Visit that website every morning when you wake up. It's the first thing you should do. And read the articles that we will not post daily. So
I will
most
say,
days it's going to be pretty boring, but then occasionally you'll open it up and there's a new article.
We had a lot of fun writing it. We had a lot of fun, and it's a fun way to kind of like get some things out that we say a lot on the podcast, but when you write it, it's a different, it takes
you
on
can
a
be
different,
more, you can you be know. More articulate. You can take your time more to really think things out and think things through, you know, so it's good.
Absolutely. So anything that you need to check up on The Mandalorian, make sure you stop at MandalorianWatch.com for all your Mandalorian needs.
All right. Well, we just ran down a huge, long laundry list of stuff. Season 2 overall thoughts, and let's wrap this up from us, and then let's get into some listener voicemails. How about it?
Let's do it.
Hello, Mandalorian Watch. This is Kathleen Kennedy. Don't worry. The Mandalorian Season 2 trailer will be out soon, if it hasn't by the time you release this episode. I just wanted to say, even though I'm crushing it over at Lucasfilm, I am even more excited for the season than anything else. Well, okay, I gotta go be a boss. I love your music, and you guys have been great. Until that time, keep the watch, and may the force be with you.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Miss Kennedy.
I'm sound anything like you normally do. Hopefully everything's well with you.
Yeah, hope you're healthy. Hope you're hanging in there.
I am honored that you called us, though.
Yeah, it means a lot. I mean, and we say it all the time. We know you're listening always.
Yeah, we love you, Kathy.
We do. Thank you for
being
for
a patron.
Producing
Thank you
all
for
this
being
content.
A patron, Kathy.
hope you like those bonus episodes. Thanks for producing all this great content for us to watch.
Thanks for the website, themandalorianwatch.com.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for selling the domain name to us. It's kind of rude of you to buy it in the first place.
She didn't even sell it to us. She just gave it to us because
she
gave
it to us.
Big fan. Yeah. Big fan. Yeah. Kathy is. I actually wait a second. We're getting another voicemail right now.
Oh, we just got one.
Let's check it out. This is so dumb.
Hey, Mandalorian Watch. It's Mandalorian Mark. I can't believe Kathleen Kennedy just called you guys and left a voicemail. I mean, I kind of figured she watched the show, but for her to take time out of her, you know, busy day being a boss and, you know, doing that, that was really kind of her. So, I mean, you guys are great. So, you know, it just makes sense that she'd call, leave a voicemail. But I just wanted to say you guys have been, you know, doing awesome this summer. Just caught up to the last episode. In terms of the trailer, what's going to be in, I had no flipping idea just as much as you guys. I just hope we just get one. If it doesn't, that's fine. I'm just excited that we got the release date now. And we have so much to look forward to. Those still photos were fantastic. It's going to be a great season. So I just wanted to call up, say you guys have been awesome, and I can't wait for your next episode. So for Mandalore, keep the watch, and may the force be with you. Bye.
Wow, Mark, thanks. You obviously have access to our voicemail hotline.
It's, It's weird that you knew that was that just came in, but yeah. But you know, it's great. I'm excited that you're excited for us. So yeah. Thanks.
Mark, you're the best.
Yeah, you rock. Yeah, I know what you feel like. I know how you feel though. Like, we have the release date, and that's all that matters. Like, as right. long as we know for sure that it's coming. So, yeah, but I think we'll get a trailer here pretty soon.
So. Yeah, I mean, you said like this weekend. So if
I think it could.
Okay, I think at the Emmys.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think the Emmys are where you premiere that, or at least
makes sense.
You tease the trailer for the next day on GMA yeah. or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's my official prediction for that. Let's get in the next voicemail.
Let's do it. We'll see who's right on that. Not in the next voicemail, but I was
Kathy calling again? Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right, let's do the next one.
Hey, guys. Casey from California. I just heard about you guys a week ago, actually, when they announced that October 30th is the day for Season 2. And I wanted to, first of all, thank you guys for what you do with the show. You guys are just such a bright light in the Star Wars community, and you're relentlessly positive in a sometimes, you know, in the online world that can be a nasty place sometimes. And you're just so much fun to listen to. I wish I had you guys for Season 1, but I'm glad I have a backlog to go and binge. All other podcasts have fallen by the wayside as I get caught up. And yeah, I'm excited to do, you know, the Clone Wars, Rebels, Mandalorian centric rewatch. Listen to those episodes as I get ready for Season 2. And man, Season 2, I cannot wait. Mandalorian is just such a good show. And I can't wait to see what they're going to do. You know, Dave and John, they're the guys. They've got this. And man, I'm so excited to see, you know, Papa Mandalorian with his little baby Yoda. And Grief Karga is looking good. And, oh, man, Moff Gideon, I cannot wait to see what they do with him. If there's one thing I'm excited for from this season, it's to see the villain they're making him out to be, because, man, he's just got a presence. Anyway, excited to see pictures. Can't wait for that trailer. Can't wait to watch this show and, you know, interact online and, you know, glad to have found a new community to watch Mandalorian alongside. Anyway, thanks again. Man, can't wait for the episode. Later, guys.
Casey. Thank you so much for that very nice voicemail.
Man, that was touching. That's
we need that him was, on our PR team.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was very reassuring to me. Like that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to provide and create a community that mm-hmm. we can all just watch this cool thing and love it, and or not, but just watch it together and
find
and
the things that we do love about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And be humans.
Yes. Fellow human beings.
That's what this is about.
Yeah, so. Casey, that really like means a lot to us, what you said, and we love that you're going back and listening to all the episodes. Like he said, we did the Clone War-centric episodes with the Mandalorian, Rebel Mandalorian-centric episodes, and then, of course, Season 1 as well. So if you are new, you can go back and listen to our breakdowns for each and every episode as well. I think, Casey, we actually met him on Twitter through the contest that we just recently
did. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more.
One more.
One more.
One more.
One more.
Thank you, Casey.
Thanks, Casey.
Hello, Mac and Alex. This is Patrick, aka John Lost His Name. And my question for you today is obviously a very pressing one. I want to know, how would you fan cast the inevitable spinoff of the Mandalorian series? And that's obviously being centered around the most talented, the most incredible, the most handsome bounty hunter in the galaxy, and that's obviously Toro Calican. That's right. Toro Calican is back, resurrected a la Darth Vader, and he's back in the game looking for revenge, looking for big bucks and money. And I'm very interested to see how you fantasy book this inevitably awesome show. I look forward to what you come up with. Take care and keep the watch.
All right. Well, I hope that you guys have all enjoyed my last appearance on The Mandalorian Watch. This is my sign off. This is it. I'm quitting. Can't take it anymore.
You hate Toro Calican that much?
No, I hate that you love him that much. I don't really spend any energy thinking about Toru Calican at all.
I literally think about him all the time. Yeah, I tweeted out from the Twitter account the day the photos came out when we see, obviously, the Mandalorian's going to be back on Tatooine at some point in season two, you mm-hmm. know? And he's on a speeder again, just like the episode that he had with Toro. I said, just out of frame, what you can't see is a resurrected Toro sitting on another speeder back. And let's just say I might be right. Now, that's not one of my crazy predictions, because it's not that crazy to bring back someone very popular back from the dead in Star Wars. So he'll have like a robot torso or something, and he'll be fine.
Okay.
And his show is...
Who's in it? Who are you casting?
I am casting the actor who plays Toro Calican.
You don't even know his name. You don't even know his name.
He's in a grindcore band.
Yeah, he is.
He will be in that show. He will be a part of the main cast. John Williams will be his sidekick.
Wait.
The composer.
This is an interesting turn.
Yeah.
Wait, as John Williams?
No, as the character he played in Rise of Skywalker, we're going to learn okay, how he lost fair. His eye and got the robotic eye. Fair. He will be playing that character. And then we will also see... Gary Kurtz. No, I'm just looking at my Star Wars poster right now. We will see Mark Hamill portray Bulio, whose head got cut off in The Rise of Skywalker. He is also part of Calican's crew, which is what the title of the show is called. You got Calican's the Bad crew. Batch, you got Calican's crew.
Okay, well, there you have it.
They make music in the Star Wars galaxy. That's what they do.
They do?
Yeah, it's what they do. You know, like, they are in a grindcore band in a galaxy far, far away.
Space grindcore.
Can you imagine John Williams in that? Tight leather pants.
All right, that's a good spot as any to end the show, I think. So, everybody, if you're joining us for the first time, thanks so much. Hope you'll come back. We will be covering all the news stuff as it comes out, trailers, all that. And then, obviously, when the season debuts, we'll be running them episodes down.
2 a week. If you're a Patreon member, that's 3 a week.
3 a week. So, that will be the only thing that Alex and I are doing with our free time in the month of November.
And watching Raised by Wolves, because I really enjoy that show now.
I gotta start it.
That show.
I think it was like handmade for me. So
it really was. Like beginning of the show, the two main characters say, "This is for Mac Lacey," and then the show begins.
And Ridley Scott spikes the camera and says, "This is for you, Mac."
That happened. I mean, you got to watch it to believe it.
And then I wake up, and I'm in eighth grade again. My life up until this point has been a dream.
That would be horrible.
Dude, if you woke up and you were in eighth grade again, that'd be the worst.
It would be the worst, but also it's like, man, there's so much I could do and change.
Oh, yeah. With this knowledge.
With this knowledge.
Anyway,
Calican's crew coming spring 2022.
Coming never, but
you know what is coming.
Until it does.
Six crazy predictions for season two. Mandalorian. Oh, I interrupted your whole spiel there.
I'm waiting to end the show, Alex.
Yeah, sorry.
Keep the watch. Unforgotten tenderness. Playing me with your ghostly kiss. Something stolen lives in my bones. Chastise me through silver paper. Mm-hmm.